we welcome you to Triumph Ward Christian Center, and we invite you to engage with us. You can go to the website and get the little handout or notes to follow along with us and further study, and we're going to dive right into the Word. So we welcome you. And check off following so that you follow us, so you let it, we'll let you know whenever we're online. Sign up and like our Facebook page. And also, if you want to check out our website, it's at www.twcc-sa.org. And, of course, if you want to sow toward this, you can text give or give online. We have a giving directions there. And if you want to ask, just send a little chat, and we'll give you information about how to support and be a blessing to us as we are to you. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to Psalms 91. Psalms chapter 91, and I'm going to read it out of the Passion Translation just to kick us off, because tonight we're going to talk about the God of peace. And the God of peace, and the key thing we want to embrace is that we want to know who God is amid tough times, because sometimes the first thing we do when trouble comes or tough times come is forget. If we forget who God is, we forget who we are. If we forget who the Lord is, we forget who we are. So we're going to emphasize one aspect of God that we need to embrace and we need to remember, that he is the God of peace. And what does that mean and entail? Well, we'll find out tonight a little bit. To help us stay encouraged and stay engaged in God's plan during these tough times. In Psalms 91, in the Passion Translation, it says, when you sit enthroned under the shadow of Shaddai, you are hidden in the strength of God's Most High. Everybody say, that's a good place. He is the hope that holds me and the stronghold to shelter me, the only God for me. Isn't that beautiful? And my great confidence, he will rescue you from every hidden trap of the enemy. And he will protect you from false accusation and any deadly curse. His massive arms are wrapped around you, protecting you. Everybody say, I'm protected by my Father God. So you can run under his covering of majesty and hide. His arms of faithfulness are a shield keeping you from harm. You will never worry about an attack of demonic forces at night, nor have to fear a spirit of darkness coming against you. Don't fear a thing. Turn to someone and tell them, don't fear a thing. Don't allow fear. Don't yield to fear. Whether by night or by day, you know, they get news in the morning, news at daytime, news at night. Praise God. And then demonic danger will not trouble you. Everybody say, I take that. Nor will the powers of evil launched against you. Even in time of disaster, verse 7, it says, with thousands and thousands of people being killed, you will remain unscathed and unharmed. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. You will be a spectator as the wicked perish in judgment. They will be paid back for what they have done. Verse 9 through 10 says, when we live our lives within the shadow of God Most High, our secret hiding place, we will always be shielded from harm. How could then evil prevail against us or disease infect us? Everybody say, it can't. God sends his angels with special orders to protect you wherever you go, defending you from all harm. If you walk into a trap, they will be there for you to keep you from stumbling. When you'll even walk unharmed amongst the fiercest powers of darkness, trampling every one of them beneath your feet. For here is what the Lord has spoken to me. Because you have delighted in me as my great lover, I will greatly protect you. I will set you on high, safe and secure before my face. I will answer your cry for help every time you pray. And you will find and feel my presence. even in your time of pressure and trouble. I will be your glorious hero and give you a feast. You will be satisfied with a full life and with all that I do for you, for you will enjoy the fullness of my salvation. Isn't that a good protection plan? Isn't that good? And that's the same God who is called in Scripture, in some occasions, the God of peace. Now let's look at some other scriptures that we've got written out before you. It is Isaiah 32:17-18. It says, the work of righteousness is peace. So when God treats his righteous children in righteousness, that work is done in peace. And the result of righteousness is quietness and confidence forever. And my people will live free from worry. Everybody say, I can live free from worry in secure, quiet homes of peace. Man, you ought to declare that over your house. Declare that over your apartment. Declare that wherever you live. I can live and exist here free from worry, secure, safe, and quiet in my home of peace. Isaiah 54:10 says this, New King James Version. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness will not depart from you. That's so precious. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has mercy on you. That is so blessing. Such a blessing. Jesus said in John 14:27, in the Amplified, he said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. How many know Jesus has left us an inheritance of his peace? So you don't have to try to find peace somewhere. It's been given to you. We access it. We appropriate it. Amen. Because this already belongs to us in Christ. That covenant of peace is already waiting and already set up for us in Christ. So you exercise your faith and you get the peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled, he says. Neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed. Because there's a lot of changes and a lot of news comes daily. Those of you that are connected pretty well on social media, you get updates, notifications. You get emails. Emails with COVID-19. And everybody's doing about that. And so he says, don't allow yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Don't permit yourselves to be fearful. That means full of fear. Intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, last one we're going to read in our introduction of the promises of peace and protection is Hebrews 13:5-6. Hebrews 13:5-6. In the Amplified Classic Version, it says, let your character and moral disposition be free from the love of money, including greed, avarice, lust, and craving for earthly possessions. You know, a lot of people get afraid of their pay going down, or their hours going down, or their job getting cut, or their, you know, shut down. Where's my money going to come from? He said, be satisfied with your present circumstances and with what you have. Now, if the Word of God says we can be satisfied, we have to endeavor in purpose and with great intention learn to be satisfied. Amen. That means without covetousness and without discontentment. I'm not talking about general satisfaction with where you are. I'm talking about being satisfied, being content in the circumstances you're in. Don't complain. Don't fuss. Don't fret. And of course, he said, for he, God himself said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you, assuredly not. Everybody say amen. Amen. Verse 6 says, so we take comfort and are encouraged and confidently and boldly say. So this is what we should be saying confidently and boldly. The Lord is my helper. Who's helping you? Who's helping you? The Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not, what? Fear or dread or be terrified. Come on, you got to have to talk to yourself like that in the morning. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear. I will not dread. I will not be terrified. What can man do to me? Amen. Praise the Lord. So understand this, friends. Peace is one of the big fruits of the Spirit that we need to function and flourish in our hearts and minds. It's really an internal work. It's not depending on external circumstances. Peace is a spirit fruit of the Spirit. Peace is a spiritual force that helps override all the outside noise and nuisances. You need peace. Peace is a major component of the kingdom of God. In Romans 14, 17, it says, the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, everybody say peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So joy and peace are major components of the kingdom of God. We have a covenant of peace, as we've seen from Isaiah 54, 10, with God. God, who is our God of peace, and with the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace. We literally, friends, you literally have inherited Jesus' very own peace. And you know, he was so peaceful and full of peace that when they were in a hurricane-type storm in Mark chapter 4, when he said, "Go, let's go to the other side," that mega storm, like a Category 5 hurricane, was rocking and reeling that boat, and he was asleep on the pillow. He could sleep in the very arduous and adverse circumstances of life. And you and I should be able to sleep real good, even though the world is screaming out in crisis and crying out in the circumstances of the day. We can still sleep. You can still rest. Why? Because God is giving you peace. You have a covenant of peace with God. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. See, God's peace will never wither or fade away from us. So you don't think, well, I'm going to run out of peace. If they come up with one more bad news, one more bad thing, I'm going to run out of peace. That's it. That's enough. No, God's peace never withers nor fades. That's the covenant we have, you and I have, with God. Isn't that beautiful? So it will never wither or fade away from us. God's peace keeps us. Peace protects us. And his peace comforts us. It comforts us. So you get the keeping power of God, the protecting power of God, and the comforting power of God. When you're really in a panic, or we would say, like today, in a pandemic situation, peace is the prescription. Tap into your peace. Access that covenant of peace that you have from God. I always say it this way, you know, I say it this way sometimes, because it helps us. From an analogy, you could have all things, everything around you falling apart, but you can still have peace. Where? Inside. That's the real big deal, because it guards and protects and governs your heart, your spirit, and your minds, your thought life, your mental focus. Everyone who's a child of God needs peace, amen, to successfully navigate through these turbulent, tough, intense times. Now let's look at Romans 5:33 for a second, the importance of peace and the peace of God. See, he says, "Now the peace of God be with you all." Now he's making a decree over the Church of Rome, which we can embrace because we are Christians, we're believers, and Christ followers. We can embrace that too. The God of peace be with you. We need to learn to say that over our family members, to say that over our church brothers and sisters. Say that as we're going on a road, particularly if you're going to the grocery store these days. Now the God of peace be with you. in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Because the temptation to get frustrated or fretful because they don't have what you want puts you in a place where you can yield to fear. Now let's read Philippians 4, 6 through 9. I'm going to read it off the screen. I got it right here, but I'm going to read it up here. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. Be anxious for what?
Nothing.
But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to who? God. And the peace. Now notice there's a conjunction there. Old days you say conjunction, junction. What's your function? So it hooks it up. So once you do your prayer with thanksgiving, then the peace of God and the peace of God, so that follows your prayer. And we'll talk about what kind of prayer in a minute. Which surpasses all understanding will guard what? Your hearts and what? Minds through Christ Jesus. This is how peace is applied to your spirit and to your mind, to your soul realm, your mind, will, and emotions. And then finally, brethren, whatever things are what? True, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if, condition, qualifier, that there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think, as some scriptures say, on these things. He gives us six things we should be thinking about, and you need to be thinking about what you're thinking about. If they don't fit in those six categories, or if they don't qualify with those two at the end, because there's eight things in that verse, the last two are if conditional qualifiers. Anything brings praise to and glory to God, and anything that's excellence. So it could be a good, it could be a true, but it doesn't give praise to God. People dying of viruses and diseases may be true, but it doesn't bring glory to God. Because God is a healer. Amen. Amen. He's a deliverer. He's a savior. He is a restorer. Come on now. He doesn't get glory out of somebody dying of sickness or disease. Amen. So we don't need to be thinking about, you know, how the media sometimes would even magnify the death toll. They were trying to do that this morning even. And, you know, they're just doing their job. We're not judging them or beating them up. But they're just reporting the facts. But facts don't give you faith. Amen. And you don't need to be meditating and thinking about things that take your faith away and take your fear up. Okay, let's read verse 9. And the things which you've learned... What things? What he just said. And received and heard and saw in me, these do it. There's not an option. It's important if we're going to be believers, true believers, and born again Christian believers and Christ followers, we're going to follow this thing and learn to do this thing. Because even Jesus said in Matthew 6, do not worry about your life. Several times. Don't take the thoughts of worry, worryful thoughts, and say things. What are we going to eat? Where are we going to live? What are we going to do? Those are fear-based statements, worry-filled statements. And so we have to learn, receive, hear, see, and do. And the what? Now there's an and again. And the God of peace will be what? With you. Now that's predicated on us learning how to unlearn being a world-class worry wart and worrying about every little thing from our bills to our bank account to every little thing that bothers us. We're not going to access and appropriate the peace of God if we're going to not refuse and resist worries and anxieties. And in some cases, you may have to do it every day, maybe a couple of times a day. Checking that worry circle, that anxiety circle, making sure that there's nothing in there. That I'm not thinking about my bills. I'm not thinking about other things that bother me, things that people said to me. I'm not worried about my bank account, about this. He said we're not supposed to meditate on those things. And for the ones that kind of try to be slick and get around the curve a little bit, and what does that mean? They get lost in media stuff. So they have escapism plans. In other words, some people's escapism is doing stuff to preoccupy their minds so that they don't think about that stuff. You know, you're not supposed to have your mind wander either. We always say there's three things, and we'll talk about them. You know, you don't want to worry, your mind to wander, worry, and you don't want your mind to wander, and you don't want your mind to get wicked. So first thing we learn as we unpack these verses is the opposite of peace is worry. The Greek word for anxious means to have a mind divided. A mind divided. Between what? Between what, Pastor? Legitimate thoughts and destructive thoughts. So a legitimate thought comes in, Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. That's a legitimate thought because that comes from heaven. That comes from God. That comes from God's word. But then a destructive thought. What are we going to do about food? Well, the big deal today, I mean, so much. I mean, I was cracking up over some of the folks on social media over toilet paper. What are we going to do about toilet paper? Well, praise the Lord. That's a destructive thought. Well, praise the Lord. Destructive thoughts will choke out the word of God and cause believers, us as believers, to abandon our trust in God. We will transfer our trust from God to the thing that we're thinking is going to save us, secure us, and supply to us. See, the devil's thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, as we've often said, are destructive. And we shared Monday night on the Facebook Live that you know, on the average, they say 30,000 thoughts a day. But you have to manage your mind. You have to maintain a Christ-like attitude. You have to maintain higher thinking. Low thinking is thinking like the world and thinking thoughts that are not of God. Taking in thoughts. And the devil has one way and one tactic is to bring thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. So when you start meditating on, what if I get the coronavirus? Well, who's that thought coming from? That's not God. That's devil's thoughts. But it's a destructive thought. And if you allow it to stay in there, it will become toxic and bring damage to your thinking. I like what God shares with us in the Word of God. And he said, my thoughts are higher than your thought. You think God's up there rubbing his hands and fingers and thinking pandemic, heaven's pandemic right now, heaven's on a high alert? No, they're not. You think the Holy Spirit's nervous in the service? Oh, you better watch out. Don't go outside. Stay home. You got to make sure you keep that social distancing. Stay 6 feet away from everybody. Well, I mean, you do the things that you're directed to do by faith, not out of fear. Praise the Lord, because we believe in supporting the leadership and governmental guidance. Amen. As long as it doesn't contradict the word of God. Amen. Somebody say glory to God. All right, Psalms 55:22. It says, cast your burdens on the Lord. This is a product of verse 6. You got to cast those things on the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be removed. Now, that's Old Testament, the way that it was brought to them. And, of course, we can still glean some learnings out of this because we had to cast our cares on the Lord today. Burden or care means to be drawn in different directions. So if your mind is going here and then going there and then going everywhere else, if you can't focus, it's hard for you to stay in faith or to be faithful. And then it means divisions, distractions, worry, and anxiety. Broken focus is when people are distracted. And that thought comes in, and they go from looking at God and or thinking about the things of God to thinking about the situation. Amen. That news report gets their heart rate up, and it gets their thinking going in a wrong direction. He said he will sustain you. Sustain you. He said if you cast your burdens on the Lord, he says, I will sustain you. How many know we have to do our part first? We have to cast the burdens on the Lord. In other words, like a beast of burden, they used to call it, like a donkey or a mule, and you just put that 50-pound sack of potatoes or flour over onto that mule. That's what he wants. He wants you to give it to him. It's your burden. It's something that's bothering you, but you have to give it to the Lord. Hallelujah. And then he said he will sustain you. That means he will feed you, he will make provision, he will nourish and support. So you got to give it to him. See, in other words, if you have it, he doesn't have it. The Lord doesn't. You got to give it to the Lord. Everybody say, give it to the Lord. You got to give it to him. Then he can take care of it. He can take the weight of it off of you so you can stay in peace. Hallelujah. See, yielding to worry and carrying the cares or anxieties is disobedient and very destructive. Some people don't even like to think that worry is a sin or worry is a bad thing because everybody's running around feeding on fear. But worry is still today spiritual contraband. It is illegal spiritual substance that we should should occupy our soul or our spirit. In other words, your load for burdens is zero. And I like how Pastor Hagin used to always say, don't exceed your load limit. Don't exceed your load limit. I mean, if you got one load, one burden, get it out. Get it over onto the Lord. It could be about a family member, about your finances, about your body, you're feeling something. Give it to who? The Lord. Because you don't want to be disobedient and somebody say, well, the big sins are this. No, it's really big when you carry that care around. Because that's equivalent to, as we've shared, pride. And Peter, he talks about you got to humble yourself and then cast your cares. Well, the act of casting your cares is humility. But conversely, when you carry the cares, you're in pride. When the directive of Scripture says, cast your burdens on the Lord, when the directive of Scripture says, cast your cares upon him, when the directive of Scripture tells us, don't be anxious for N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Be anxious for nothing. That means nothing is allowed to enter into your anxious, anxiety, worry circle. Second, we learn that believers who take their worries to God in prayer discover the peace of God. So you got to literally take them to the Lord and give them to him. But they're also promised something better. The God of peace himself. His protection, his presence, his comfort, his encouragement. So how do you protect yourself? How do you invoke and activate God's protection, God's peace, God's provision in your life? You've got to give him your cares. You got to make that request with thanksgiving. And then the peace comes in. But God says, and the peace of God will be with you if you learn how to do this consistently and faithfully. Whatever the doctor says, give it to the Lord. Amen. Whatever your checkbook or the banker says, give it to the Lord. Whatever your bills are screaming at you saying, give it to the Lord. Whatever's occurring in your family that may be bugging at you real big, give it to the Lord. See, when the problem is worry, the prescription is prayer, proper thinking, and proper responses. You got a proper response is, how am I going to respond to this worry? I pray, give it to the Lord. Amen. And then I make sure I manage my thinking. I think on these things. I mean, we ought to be walking around with Philippians 4, 8, 3x5 card, 6 through 9. Philippians 4, 6 through 9 on 3x5 card. So every time something comes at you, pops up on your phone, you take a Philippians 4, 8 pill. This doesn't qualify for me to be thinking about it. I'm not supposed to lay up in bed meditating on the evil report of the devil, the destructive thoughts of the enemy. Amen? Because Jesus didn't say, I come to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He said, but I've come that you might have life and life that more abundantly. See, prayer, the prayer that we pray is the prayer of commitment. Is simply casting your cares on the Lord. Now, if you're out of practice, get in practice. We encourage everyone to get in practice. The prayer of commitment, casting your cares on the Lord. Now, let's look at that in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5, 7. He said, casting the whole of your care, all of your what? Anxieties, all of your worries. That means all of them. All of your concerns once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. So the prayer commitment is basically three major components. A deliberate act of your faith. That means you have to decide and determine that you're going to give it to the God. I don't care how big or small it is. Don't carry it because you're not equipped to handle it. Your load limit is what? Zero. Number two, deliberate speaking by faith. That means you have to get it out of through your mouth. God, I'm giving this XYZ to you. And then deliberate follow through to ensure that you're carefree, worry-free, and anxiety-free. You got to check yourself because sometimes our hands and our hearts has glue paper on it. When we give it, it comes back. It sticks back. You want to give it. Everybody here, and that seeing this or hearing this, has to live as a believer carefree, worry-free, anxiety-free. Amen. We got to have the anthem of the scripture rolling through. If God be for me, who or what can be against me? Praise God. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Now, here's some truths about our mind. When we're under pressure and we're consumed in thought about our problems or pain, our mind wants to worry. We often say never make decisions under pressure because you're giving, yielding to the devil's stimulus because he uses pressure. And then, of course, when we're bored, our mind wants to wander. We have to be intentional in our thinking. He told us six things we need to be thinking about. Boredom and complacency is the enemy of the Christian life. In other words, we stop doing our job because we're doing something else we're not supposed to be doing, because where the mind goes, the man or woman follows. So if your mind is in just escapism, let me just blank out. Let me just do something just to check out of reality. You stop doing what you're supposed to be doing. And that takes on many different shapes and forms. You're not supposed to be bored and complacent, because we end up doubting God. We end up delirious in our thinking. And we end up disobedient in our Christian assignment. I'm not getting too many amens right there. Because we need to stop our mind from wandering. We have control of programming our mind with the Word of God. We have to renew our mind with the Word of God. Stop wandering. Stop getting lost in online and in games for hours at a time. It's not healthy. Praise God. When we don't properly cope with persecution, we tend to get bitter, and our minds tend to think wicked. We think everybody's out to get us. We start thinking evil thoughts about the person who said something bad to us or shared something that we might not necessarily agree with, and we got that bitterness rising up on the inside. See, Paul tells us by the Holy Spirit in Philippians 4:8 that we are to be thinking on, and now that our minds have not been filled with worry and wandering or wickedness, we have the power over our thoughts, and we do not have to let and allow our minds to wander, worry, or get wicked. You don't have to let it. Now, Colossians 3:15 says this in the Amplified, beautiful verse of Scripture. It said, let the peace of God, peace, soul harmony, which comes from Christ, rule. Let the peace of God rule. Where? How? Act as an umpire. So that thoughts coming in to your soul realm, you have to say they're safe. You know, like we went to the hospital just for appointment. They had people standing up, and they were checking people. You coming in. You been a fever? You've been traveling anywhere for 30 days outside the country? Come on, they had masks on and everything. Checking people out, screening people before they even get in the hospital. But you know, you need to screen that way for your thought life. Like an umpire, saying that thought's safe. That qualifies to stay in. But you need the destructive thoughts, you need to say, out. Get that thought out. That's why he's saying, act as an umpire continually in your hearts, deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. Many of us have lots of questions about what's going on, what to do. But he said, let the peace rule. That means peace is like a judge. It's saying, this is good. This is what you don't need to be thinking on. That's not good. Amen. Let the peace of God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And he said, that peaceful state in which all members of Christ, one by one, were called to live. We're called to live in peace. And be thankful, appreciative, giving praise to God always. So we always say this, don't ever think about, ponder on, meditate on, speak about things that you don't know, things that you don't have, and things that you can't do. Because a lot of times people get worried when they're not in control of things. So don't ever think about, don't meditate on, don't talk about, don't ponder around in your mind things you don't have, things you don't know, things you can't do. Because you will get yourself all messed up and open the door for the enemy to come and feed you deception, discouragement, and sometimes you'll even get depressed because I don't have, I don't know, I can't do. This verse tells us don't do that. Now here's the big key as we're getting ready to wind this down. Philippians 4:9 tells us the truths that we learn, receive, and do habitually, meaning habitually practice, the God of peace shall be with us. Isn't that so beautiful? The God of peace says, God, our Father, says he will be with us in the expression of the God of peace. Ultimate success in life and during this troubling season will come as we do the word. The word benefits the doer, not the hearer only, but the doer. And we all should be seeing the peace rising up big in our hearts and minds, protecting us, guiding us, guarding us, governing us. And so we got that thermometer on, that peace thermometer that says, I don't have any peace in my heart about going this way or making that decision or going that direction. You know, make sure you check in with your peace monitor. Sunday we talked about the joy monitor. You know, your joy level needs to be high. So you got two big monitors, joy and peace. What is God, the God of peace, with us to do? Well, Romans 16, 20, it says, let's look at this. Romans 16, verse 20. Romans 16, verse 20. It's coming. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Now, we don't have time to extrapolate or crush, but he's going to literally dismantle and destroy under your feet. But when he's with you, he'll do it. Now, the promise of him being with you is when you do your part. Amen. To pray, to give it to the Lord. The peace of God comes in, and you properly think on the right things. Praise the Lord. He said he'll crush him under your feet shortly. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says the God of peace will sanctify you wholly. W-H-O-L-L-Y. That means completely. He will sanctify you completely. And your whole spirit, your whole soul, your mind, will, and emotion, and your whole body will be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord. So he'll sanctify you completely. Isn't that good? Amen. Now let's look at Hebrews chapter 30. I'm going to read that out of Amplified here. Hebrews chapter 13. This is a real good one. I like this one. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20. It says, now may the God of peace, there he is again. See, if he's with you, he's doing these things. Now may the God of peace, who is the author and the giver of peace, that's where it comes from, who brought again from among the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood that sealed, ratified, and established the everlasting agreement, covenant, testament. What is he going to do? Strengthen, complete, and perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with everything good, so that you may be may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to whom be the glory forever and ever to the ages of ages. Amen, so be it. Amen. So he makes us complete in every good work to do his will. He makes us what we ought to be. Who's doing that? The God of peace. Everybody say the God of peace. All right, just lift your hands and thank God for the God of peace. Hallelujah. You can just stand if you want to.